Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for Friday, the 25th of July, 2025. I'm joined by Nick, Lewis, and some guy who just happened to barge in off the street. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm good, mate.
Yeah, good. Good to see you. So the big show today, actually. Really big.
Yeah. I'm enjoying being the least controversial on the panel for once. It's a great day.
You are dragging us further to the right.
Sorry.
So today we're going to be talking about how, frankly, Britain is ready to explode. Everyone can feel the tension in the air, and it's worth exploring, I think. We're going to talk about the online dystopian bill, which, honestly, the Americans are slaughtering us over this online at the moment, and they're right to, frankly. And then we're going to discuss how Corbyn's going to destroy the Labour Party, which, I mean, I'm all right with that.
I'm pretty cool with it.
Yeah, so it's like watching a spider and a wasp having a fight, isn't it?
Yeah. Chicken's coming home to roost.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right, so let's begin. So the protests have still been continuing in Epping. Jack Hadders was down there yesterday covering it all, and it's all very local and polite and constrained. Like, it wasn't crazy. It's not far-right lunatics, goggle-eyed weirdos or anything. It's just normal local people who are concerned about their own children and why there are a bunch of foreign, unvetted migrant men there. As, in fact, one local woman explains. I think we just have her explain it to us.
The hotel needs shutting, and we're out here to save our children, to protect them. There's unvetted men in the hotel, and they shouldn't be. It needs closing.
And what have you heard from being down here?
What do you mean?
What have you heard about anything that's happened with the migrants being around here?
Oh, there's been loads of stuff. My daughter works in the high road, in a hairdressing salon, and they've had them come in there intimidating them. Other people who have salons down here, they've had them coming in. There was the sexual assault. My daughter used to go to Epping St John's, and she used to walk home from school being ogled by them, spoken to by them, wolf whistled. It's just not on. It's not on.
So that gives you an impression of what's been going on in Epping. Because the thing is, we focus on the worst aspect of it, which is the obviously the individual crime, or the crimes alleged to have been committed. But it creates a kind of culture of tension just to have them around, because they don't integrate. They're intimidating people around, you know. And so people have been protesting constantly since the protest began. And here they are outside of the civic offices. Again, Jack recording. And they've won. Seems they've won.
The council voted yesterday, right?
Yep. The council has unanimously voted to urge the government to close the hotel housing the asylum seekers after the demonstration. Now, the council are still talking tough, which is interesting. The Conservative leader, Chris Whitbread, says, I'm concerned that the peaceful protests are being infiltrated by the extremes of politics. It's like, I don't see any evidence for that.
It's took them 5 years, though, for the council, because these have been here 5 years.
Yep, I know.
So they're all now finding the courage. And what this shows is that the public have given that courage. And do you know what I find exciting is that mothers like this who are talking now have fought this for years. Yep. But they didn't have the courage, or they didn't feel the confidence to say it. And what you're seeing now across the country is Britain's mums just speaking.
Yeah. Standing up. We've
finally
had enough.
Yeah, people have had enough. Yeah, it's encouraging to watch.
Yeah, because when the mums come out, you know it's over.
Yeah.
And also, it's just in the government's position, it's indefensible. She's like, look, they come and they harass our daughters, they're staring at them and so on. What can you say to that? It's just a normal mum telling it how it is.
I mean, I dread to think what their opinion of that is. I mean, but the thing is, remember, they are still tough talking. So basically, they haven't actually admitted they've done anything wrong yet. For example, I mean, notice the Chris Whitbread, the leader here, being like, well, I'm worried that the residents' peaceful protests are being infiltrated by the extremes of politics. It's like, what are you talking about? Where are they? You've just got a bunch of normal people in Epping saying, look, we're sick of this. It's been 5 years. It's got to stop. And then, just a quick thing, then you've got the police chief superintendent saying, we won't tolerate anyone thinking they can come and cause trouble or breach the law. So listen, just stop. You've just done exactly what these people wanted. So say, look, we're really sorry, actually. We're sorry that this was forced on you. We're sorry we went along with it. You know, we shouldn't have ruined the place that you live, and we shouldn't have made it so that kids can get molested by these strangers.
It's kind of unfortunate that force is the only way to get anything done in this country, but the precedent has been set by other people. You complain, you make a stink, you threaten, and actually things get done. That's the only way.
I find it, even with regards to, was it Jack here, the amount of now citizen journalists, they can't twist it, they can't change the narrative, they can't control the narrative. The videos that were shown of Antifa getting bussed out and bussed in by the police, without citizen journalism, they would have totally controlled the narrative. No one would have been able to pick up on this. There's so many now. That's what I find great. And I try and give them all a shout out. Say to the public, get behind these people. Anyone on there live streaming, anyone up asking questions directly of the public, getting their opinions, is so important.
To add to that as well, there was a guy, I forgot his name, I think Marcus maybe. He was streaming for 6 to 7 hours on the ground, like consistently. And that's where he picked up some of the footage of Antifa and Stand Up To Racism, you know, were being bussed out of the area, and even the police officers saying that it was a bus. And you can leap into action with people like behind the desk or back at home. I started then, you know, investigating whether there was some sort of coordination between the councils and, of course, the police, if there's any funding as well. But like you said, you need citizen journalists to be there consistently so that people can sit back and wait. And if they see something, they can jump in and investigate.
It's the unions funding this, right?
Yes.
Unions funding it.
Yeah.
The unions in bed with the Labour Party, the government.
Yeah.
So the government aren't getting their hands dirty, but their partners are doing exactly the same. This is nothing new either. You saw, remember my Oldham campaign, where they marched hundreds and hundreds of Muslims wearing balaclavas to a family event in a family estate. They marched them miles to come in and disrupt it and ruin it. And then the media used to just pump the headline, trouble at Tommy Robinson event.
Yep.
Far right thugs. So they wanted to take the narrative away from the mums here who were protesting and turn it into a free-for-all, turn it into a violent confrontation. So then they could use that to silence the legitimate concerns of the community.
They can't get away from it now.
You know what's interesting is Victoria Derbyshire on BBC Newsnight did a piece on this, and they were interviewing people at the time. And in fact, very, very similar to what you just said.
I've just been talking to the council leader, and he said that Tommy Robinson is expected here. What do you think of that?
I'm mixed race. Okay, I'm going to say that. I'm mixed race. I'm old enough to remember the BNP. Tommy Robinson is not racist.
As far as you're concerned, he is welcome here.
I think he, for me personally, I don't think he's a good idea.
Oh.
Because of the amount of people he'll bring from outside the area. At the moment, it's a local thing for local people who want to voice their opinion and want the government to do something about it. You bring Tommy Robinson here, with all the good intentions in the world, I don't think he's going to end well.
It's right.
So that guy, I think, has got a great point. And as I understand it, you haven't been down to Epping.
No, he was right. So remember, I watched a video and it was some girl saying, Tommy, can you come down here? When people ask for something, I find it hard not to say yeah. It was a day or 2 days I sat thinking about it, and I thought, I'm going to give them the ammunition that the media want and probably that the government want to rubbish what they're doing. So then I made a decision that it's best to stay away from it.
Yeah,
and you reached out to me as well, Carl.
I did.
A few people did give me their concerns, and I took the concerns and I thought, if I went there, it becomes about me.
Yeah.
The chance will be about me. The issue will be about me. It won't be about the man that sexually assaulted a child in a school uniform. It won't be about the mums in the area. So, yeah, I've made the decision not to go. What this is going to show when they win, because I believe they're now gone, the council go to the Home Office telling them they need to close it. Hopefully now the Home Office make decision to close it. It shows this is one hotel. You've got one in Norwich where two men have raped from that hotel. You've got them across the country. It shows the local community, get out.
You have power.
You have power. Get out.
You can do this. I mean, the good people of Epping have been such a great case study in this.
Yeah.
And actually, I just want to congratulate yourself and everyone else. Like, the online right, well, it'd be so easy for us to get to Epping and just go down there and make trouble and make a scene out of it. But that wouldn't have helped. And I think this chap's exactly right. Like, look, no, we, the locals, can handle this.
Yeah,
and they have.
We've done it.
And they've absolutely won. And so, basically, we can just cheer our guys on. Of course, this didn't stop the media from lying about it. Right, so I saw you tweet this, and I was honestly apoplectic watching this. It was just like, because they lie about me all the time. They lie about you. They lie about bloody everyone. But this is just the depth of the lies.
I suppose the last summer of rioting was over the Southport killings and Axel Rudikabana and all of that, and there was some false information in the mix. This is a genuine, which starts with a genuine anger against a person who's alleged to have assaulted a child, which is pretty serious.
Of course it is.
And we have to hope, I suppose, we don't have flashpoint incidents like that.
Yeah, and we can all agree that that is
disgusting and wrong and that we don't want that and we want that person dealt with. But the trouble is, there is also an angle where it gets weaponized for other agendas. And the misinformation thing is really, really worrying. So if you're spreading stuff around on Facebook, as was done by Tommy Robinson, I believe, started it, saying, they're all in this hotel, get down there. And then it's completely false.
She's talking about misinformation.
Actually, how does that help?
That's simply impossible because, and I've been, as a free speech warrior, I've been banging this drum on your behalf from this for years. What year did you get deplatformed from Facebook?
2018, I think.
Yeah, when it was just a complete...
So it was prescient of you to predict this problem in Epping 7 years later.
That's very clever.
You're a pioneer.
She's talking about misinformation. Yeah. She's going on about misinformation and then feeding the public who are listening to the show total misinformation.
She's complete got a great podcast, though. No, I just said podcast host. I'm like, I want to hear that.
Hold on. Who even is she?
No idea. She's a podcaster of some sort.
Oh, she's a podcaster.
But I'm not going to cast shade because we're podcasters. But the point is, Jeremy Vine just has her on to just spew lies. These are just untruths.
They should put one of you on for the other side.
Right.
Ofcom regulations.
Well, exactly. Where's the... No, Ofcom aren't going to come for them, though, are they?
No.
You know, come for GB News all the time. And so I thought that what I think this shows is a general sense of tension in the country, right? And I think that, I mean, you know, we all speak to lots of people on the online forum, right? But we also speak to lots of people in, you know, the normal world. Can we have a quick, how do you guys feel about the way things are going at the moment?
How do I feel? I feel there's been a mass awakening. I feel the public are ready. I feel that we've been waiting 15 years for this. We've been waiting for the public to be ready to listen and understand what's happening. And there's been a catalogue of things that have resulted in this, from the rapes, even from COVID, the questioning of the media, the lies, the recent story of the Afghans being brought in, people knowing they're being gaslit by the media and the government on so many issues. And I think now, and I see it, so people might not get to see it, I see it when I walk down the street. I was sat this week, I was in a place called Albeer. There's no English there, really, yeah? I'm sat in a restaurant, three different people come up to me at that restaurant about September 13th.
I remember the first time I interviewed you in like 2017, and we went to a hotel in London, and we're going to this hotel set up, and it's just like rough-looking men would just spot him and just be like, come on, love what you're doing, Tommy. You know, and this is years ago, back when you were still Satan. Yeah. To everyone, you know, and it was just, you know, and I get recognised enough on the street.
Now it's posh people.
Exactly, right? But let's watch this, because this is just one of those clips where it's everything about the current moment is contained within it.
I just think it's really, really important for people to understand that there are no safe and legal routes for refugees to come to this country. This is the only way they can come here, is on a boat to pay. Yeah, they've got the whole of Europe. Why should we put that burden on the rest of Europe?
But do you not think...
We still have to take responsibility for the fact that we have a lot of stakes in the conflicts and the climate crisis that causes people to be refugees and have to come to another country. They're not choosing to leave their country, at their home, their children, their parents.
Fucking children, you silly cunt.
Right. That really feels like the current moment at the moment.
That's right? The English beginning to hate in real time. Actual footage.
Absolutely that. And the thing is, you've got a woman who's obviously had quite a privileged upbringing. She's probably had a great education. She's very genteel. She comes from the sort of liberal Democrat wing of politics. You know what I mean?
Nice person.
I'm sure she's a lovely person.
I think that's the problem. They're just naive and stupid.
Exactly.
She's a nice person.
That is exactly it. And she's got all of these abstract, high-minded, but they're refugees, they need help. And then you can hear the guy on the ground, he comes from the bottom, man. You can tell that this guy has just had enough. I'm not taking your liberal platitudes. I'm not being all soft about it. No, and I'm going to bloody tell you. And you can feel the rage that's boiling up. And the thing is, they're well aware, right? They're well aware. So there was a report from the British Future think tank the other day that just declared that basically Britain's a powder keg and we're expecting a summer of riots. Because the thing is, like, the Epping thing is bad, right? But it could be worse, right? And that's what we saw in Southport, right? Yeah, obviously a illegal molesting a child, terrible, but it's not a mass murder. And
What happens when one does this summer?
Well, exactly. And the thing is, you we can tell that the establishment is just sat there every day. They wake up and go, please, no mass murder. Please, please, just don't murder a bunch of people. And so this is what this report is talking about.
And because they haven't got enough prison space to lock up all the mums tweeting about it.
Yep, they're so true. That's the absolutely haven't. I mean, so one the important quote from this, I think, is that it said that the successive governments have failed to take sustained proactive measures to address social cohesion, and that a doom loop of inaction, crisis, and piecemeal response has failed to strengthen the foundations of communities across the country. So what that means is they're screwed. Right? They know that the country is completely fractured, and it's mostly the English people are just furious at this point. Like, yeah. Everyone can tell we've been completely sold out.
That's been their biggest fear, is the sort of, you know, British majority, whatever you want to call them, finally get out on the streets and say enough is enough. The weird thing is, every single action they've done has been provoking that. That's what I always come back to. Like, this is exactly what you would do if you wanted civil unrest. You'd smuggle in thousands of secret Afghans. You'd lock up a mother for a tweet. You know, the amount of things they don't.
Like, yeah, and they didn't go back on it. You're right. Doubling down on it.
Yeah.
So, and then they call them far right as well. You're just racist. You're just far right thugs. You know, your concerns aren't valid.
Release actual criminals, popping off champagne, putting people for tweets. You would do all of this if you wanted to create civil unrest.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of people, you know, seem to think and believe as well that it's basically by design. Well, Keir Starmer said it was the topic of immigration. This was done by design. So
the Labour Party have been pretty open about it.
Yeah,
it can't not be.
Exactly.
Everyone
don't accidentally do this, right?
If they wanted to stop the boats, they'd stop the bloody boats. It'd take 10 minutes, realistically. The Navy would stop it. Donald Trump gets in, literally, it ends, yeah? They could stop it. None of them want to stop it.
But what they are going to try and stop is you. So look at this. Starmer vows strengthened crackdown on rioters. So he's already come out. Number 10 has already come out and made the point that, look, if you do something, we're going to come for you. Now, Starmer hasn't done a direct statement to the country yet, like he did after Southport, which was an atrocious statement. But they say, in a sign that Keir Starmer is not willing to tolerate a repeat of the riots that followed the Southport murders, the Home Office has issued a statement saying it's prepared for any disorder that might erupt this year. A government spokesman said, while the public have a right to protest against the current situation, we will never tolerate unlawful or violent behaviour. Working closely with the police, we have thorough and well-tested contingency plans in place to deal with any public disorder, which have strengthened since last year's shameful scenes. So I love that. Even at the very end there, you're bad people. You are shameful. How dare you get out on the streets and be angry about what the people we bring into this country do to your children? It's like, okay.
Yeah, they won't tolerate anyone coming out against it, but they are tolerating the migrants they're bringing in doing it. They are tolerating it.
Yep.
There's no strong words or strong action against, look, this isn't going to happen again. We know why you're scared. We know communities are scared. We're going to make sure everyone's vetted. They're not going to be dumped into your communities without anyone knowing who they are. There's no mention of it. They don't even mention it.
That's what a government who didn't hate us would say. This government hates us. And so they're telling us, listen, we are bringing in what is essentially a privileged client group. We're bringing them in. We're going to put them up in hotels at your expense. And if you come out and object to this, we are going to oppress you. We are going to crack down on you. Is literally word for word what they're saying. It's like, right, okay. So this is why when Rupert Lowe's like, look, the state is the enemy, he is absolutely right. The British state is the enemy of the English people. And they just say it.
Do you know, it didn't work. You know, last summer when they done this, I thought it would work. And October 26th, when I was in jail, it didn't work. The numbers doubled. I thought their intentions with Lucy Connolly, with me, with all these people who spoke, cracking down, live streaming it, showing you the arrest, trying to put fear into the public that we can lock anyone up. We can lock granddads up. Look, we've done Peter Lynch. We don't care. We'll lock you all up. I thought that would put fear in the public and they wouldn't come out and demonstrate. They come out in doubled the numbers. On the September 13th, there's going to be far more than they've ever seen. So that ain't going to work.
No, it's just like COVID with the lockdowns. Exactly the same playbook. Exactly the same. You know, you look up, across the pond to like Australia, Canada, all of those countries, and how the governments dealt with dissent over there, and they did it here. It's kind of, it's the same pattern you're seeing. It's just a different topic.
We've had enough, though. You've been doing this for too long.
Yeah.
The British have had enough. That might have worked 10 years ago. Yeah, that's not working now. Everyone's awake. Everyone knows what you're doing. They know you're flooding the country. They know our country's future's at risk. They know their children are not going to be safe. They're looking around. It used to be towns like Luton. Now they're looking around everywhere,
yeah,
thinking, hold on, it's changed. I met a woman, I met her in Norway recently when I was in Norway, and she didn't like me. And she said, now she lives in North Wales, yeah? She said they've put all the hotels in North Wales near her little beautiful area. She said her daughters can't walk down the street. Everyone sees it now.
Suddenly she understands you.
Yeah, everyone can see it now.
So they can talk tough all they like, but they are still deeply afraid of this. Again, this is the standard. These are not like far-right papers that I'm citing here. But they say that Keir Starmer fears a repeat of last summer's riots, and he demands urgent action from ministers to repair fraying Britain, because they're convinced that the social fabric is basically frayed beyond repair, and this is going to cause us to kind of, I don't know, I mean, some kind of riots, uprisings, God only knows what they think is going to happen. And Angela Rayner just said, well, look, it's immigration that's having this profound impact on society. So what exactly do you think can be done? I mean, we all know what they would need to do is just start deporting people, but they're not going to do it. So they're afraid. And I think that you're right on this. I do think that people can see it everywhere. I mean, I talk to, like, just, you know, random people whenever I go traveling, and the topic of immigration comes up everywhere. Like, I had a weird, like, interaction with a guy on the train. He was a businessman from Wales, and, like, we're sat, you know, I'm sat on one side of the table, he sat on the other, and the woman putting the drinks down the aisle bumps him, and they have a little back and forth, and because suddenly, like, the sort of bubbles of isolation people have on the trains have been broken, suddenly we were all talking, and then she wanders off and he just starts talking to me. He doesn't know who I am. And he's, you know, we just start talking about it. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to revoke reform, you know. I'm like, he doesn't know who I am. Mm. And he's just like, yeah. And I was like, oh, why is that? He's like, it's immigration. And I was like, well, good luck with that. But, like, the point being, even just random people on trains are starting to talk to you about this stuff. Even though, you know, this is in the public conscience.
You know, when people, I've said for years, do you know everyone's been silenced? Mm. The entire country's been silenced. So people have been thinking something, but not free to say it. So when that bubble bursts, they're not just going to they're not going to whisper it anymore. They're going to be screaming it. When they look and realise, look what you've done to our country. There's no coming back from this. You've sold us out. You've destroyed our entire cities are destroyed. Look what you've imported. Look at the level of violence that's now here. When people realise what they've done and they find the courage to speak, which is coming now, it's going to be a tidal wave.
Yeah. And they're not ready. Right, yeah. The police are just not ready for
what's
this.
What's that called? A preference cascade, like in the Soviet Union, when enough people start speaking to each other, go, oh, you think this as well? Oh, you do? Oh, and then the whole thing's over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because no one dared say it. Yeah. People like us said it because we're idiots, but the normal people have been too careful, but now they're saying it.
But the point is that the police are not ready for this. Tiff Lynch, the head of the Police Federation, says that the police are being pulled in every direction. They're being forced to choose between keeping peace at home or plugging national gaps. And the figures are at record lows. Instead of having, they had a peak of 67,000 police in 2023 to 58,000 in 2025. So they've lost 8,000 police officers.
That explains why so many Met police were at Epping. Because they're pulling resources all over. So yeah.
And the thing is, they're totally demoralised anyway, because they're sick of getting it in the neck from the press, from the activists, from the public themselves. Like, the system itself is creaking and can't sustain this level of what I would just call oppression. And then you've got their last hope, which apparently Fraser Nelson went on Times Radio and just thinks is Farage. We'll watch this to end this.
Farage is not a facial stream for him, he's the buffer.
So I'm going to defend Nigel Farage and reform here. I mean, just because some far-right lunatics have joined the protest, that doesn't mean to say they're getting into bed with them. I think there are lots of people there who are really dismayed at what's happening with the small boat situation, with the migrant hotel situation. And I think there is a risk of falling into the trap of saying, oh, these guys are all fascists, look at this, we're standing shoulder to shoulder with the far right. In doing that, I think the risk is overlooking the legitimate concerns of people who are just standing up for their community, for their sense of fairness. And it is, if you get stuck into the trap of attacking the far right, who, by the way, absolutely deserve to be attacked, then there is a risk of overlooking the legitimate grievance. Now, the only opportunities ever for extremists in Britain come when governments fail to address a legitimate problem. And that's what's happening here. The small boat situation is a daily scandal. The migrant hotel situation is an absolute outrage. And I think the surprise is not that the protests aren't happening now, but they haven't been happening a long time previous to this. We've seen this world over in Sweden, like something like 6 or 7 years ago, they were burning down migrant hotels. We haven't seen that in this country. But this is what, when you offend people's sense of fairness, when people are struggling to put food on the table and they walk past migrant hotels where they're getting fed 2 hot meals a day, given mobile phones, etc., of course you're going to be very angry. And you can't exactly say, please don't be angry, because I think there's a guy over there who's a far-right person coming in here. And Nigel Farage is not the face of extremism in Britain. He's not the face of racism. He is a buffer between us where we are now and the genuine extremists and racists who are waiting to come into the wings. And if it wasn't for Nigel Farage, we would absolutely have a Nick Griffin figure, larger than life, way more stronger than he is here.
So there we go. They know that Farage is basically the tail end of this paradigm.
So which is that they want him to be the tail end.
Exactly.
They built him up to be the tail end.
Exactly. And they're completely on side with him being the tail end of it. And if Farage fails, then that's it. Something new comes out.
Yeah. So in other words, containment.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But they've let him in the establishment. Faith Nelson did a whole documentary on him on Channel 4. And about the worst he said was, well, his policies are not that well sketched out. But it's basically an endorsement. Even the fact that he's on Channel 4, and if he's doing anything other than calling him Hitler, it's basically an endorsement, isn't it? So, yeah.
Let me read you this. I ain't gone public with this
yet.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, I ain't gone public with this yet. So what we've realised, or what I've realised after working with the police, the Met Police, they're supportive. Yeah? They're at loggerheads now with the government and the Greater London Authority. This is what the Greater London Authority, because we've been refused Trafalgar Square. So Parliament Square was where the police wanted us. Yeah, police said, this works best. This is safest. We can have screens here facing the whole square as far as you can see. And we had a backup road along the Thames where we're going to put another 46 metre screen there, which can fit another 30, 40,000 people that way. The Greater London Authority. Whilst we support peaceful assembly, it is necessary for all users of the square to fully comply with relevant laws authorisation. I must also draw to your attention that the GLA is publicly authorised subject to the public sector equality duty contained in section 149 Equalities Act 2010. This means that when considering applications for authorisation, the GLA is required to have regard to any potential impacts of its decision on people with protected characteristics within the meaning of the Act, including religion. There is also within the terms and conditions of provision that states the activity must not contain anything which might reasonably cause offence. So they're refusing us using Parliament Square in case we cause an offence. It's a free speech festival, yeah? The point of free speech is some people may get offended. But they've refused that. But the police have now coming up with, we've got a meeting this week, as a backup of how we can still successfully do it. But the police are at loggerheads themselves. The police are raging with this. Yeah, it's the Greater London Authority and the government. They're like, the government ain't letting.
And notice the angle of attack here, because we've done many of these now
peacefully
and they've been so good.
And no trouble.
No trouble at all. Huge celebrations of British values, traditional Britain, and we've had no problems whatsoever. And they're not even alleging that you're going to cause problems.
No, they're
alleging someone might be offended.
Yeah, someone might be offended. Someone might be offended, which is why they don't. But what that now works, because we did have 3 screens, we're now up to 6 or 7 screens. We're going to have a screen every 70 metres, as far as you can see.
Okay, so let's end this with a bit of a promo. So 13th of September.
13th of September is going to be the largest gathering of patriots I think Britain's ever seen. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a festival. Some of the speakers we've got coming are people. Do you know, when we started this a year ago, and this is why it was important. I don't know if you saw last time, there was an incident, the one on October 26th, where someone tried to get on stage who wasn't invited to speak, yeah? Tried making a big deal out of it. Every speaker had to be vetted, because our end goal was to get some of the world's best renowned academics and speakers speaking on the stage to take away from what they wish to label the crowd as. Yeah, we've now got Jordan Peterson, we've got Eva coming, you know, the Dutch girl.
I do.
Lord Inglebrook.
Yeah, you can say it. See, I can't say it, so I don't want to try embarrassing myself. But the list of speakers we've got and people wanting to speak is amazing. Yeah, videos. We've got Vox, the Spanish party, contacting. They're sending a video from there because they've got a festival themselves that weekend. We've got Dominic Szweski, lead politicians coming from Poland. The leader of Danish People's Party is coming. AfD. We had multiple politicians from the AfD asking to speak to the crowds. The British public have done that. They know that the focal point of Europe and street level resistance is in Britain. And that's it. It's in Britain. We're setting the example to the rest of them. And I think you're going to push 500,000, probably more, coming to central London. I think is going to be the biggest problem we've got is making sure they can all see and hear, which we've now got meetings this week to add extra. We've got a 46 meter screen, every 70 meters. We're going to have it, and but to do that, we've had to put in plans this week to put to build entire things for massive speaker systems. Basically, from Parliament Square, we're not allowed in Parliament Square, but we're going to have our first screen at the end of Parliament Square, going all the way out to Trafalgar Square. So we'll be at, so all the way up 70 meters. That's the plan at the minute. So it's going to be it's going to be iconic. It's going to be the biggest festival and political rally the country's seen.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. And I, when I come out of jail, I was trying to do too many things. I thought we just need to concentrate on September 13th. We need to make sure it's right. We need to make sure it's safe. It's planned right. Yeah.
It's scary speaking in front of that many people, though.
Yeah, it's going to be good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. Look forward to it.
It's going to be good, and it's such a different group of speakers as well. Mm. Jordan Peterson's been totally supportive.
I hate to do it, but time we've got to carry on.
Yeah, cool.
But right, so we got some super chats here actually, so I'll go through this. OPHUK, take Tommy and the boys out for a pint on me, Carl. Thanks. Thanks a lot, man. This show doesn't feel right. This episode of Low Seaters clearly needs a parrot sitting on my shoulder. I'll explain it afterwards. why is it that the man tried to help England looks like my uncles and my grandfather? Well, the thing is, you'll notice that all the people who aren't protesting look like your family members as well, because this is just the normal people of England now who have just had enough. You should have kept the beard, Tommy. Captain Carl, Sargon, Master Brackpool and Tommy Roger sailing the English Channel patrolling the invasion. Yeah, but you are right. The government could sort this out any time. They know they could. The government is just increasing the amount of powder in the keg, and the coming explosion is only getting bigger and bigger. They're right to be afraid, because they're culpable in everything that's happened. Totally true. It wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for them. This wouldn't be happening. This isn't natural. When you tell the entire people, you're evil, for a long time, don't be surprised when they break out the helmets with the glowing red eyes. No, people are going to be more reasonable than I think you think, but I think the time has just come for us to just say this no more. Great to see Tommy on the podcast, and may I be so bold to suggest the next great campaign should be to draw attention to the horrors happening in our prisons. You've made us think about before.
I have prisoners. Mm. I have direct contact with prisoners now. Do you know there was a gang set up to fight against Islam within the prison system?
No, I didn't.
Now I'm going to do a documentary on it called The Piranhas. Oh, yeah. There was a resistance that came out of Franklin Prison, and they were stopping the Islamic conversions. All of those piranha prisoners now, all of the men that stood up, many of them are from Liverpool, are stuck on solitary confinement in the basements of prisons across this country. They're not allowed into any prison system because there's a fatwa put on them. Do you know when the investigation within the prison system found that Muslim lawyers were going from jail to pass messages, get him, all of them were getting hurt. So there's one now in Belmarsh who's been sat down segregation on solitary confinement for 2 years, and he's done nothing wrong. He cannot have a prison sentence. You know, like with me, they said, we can't put you up there. You're going to get killed. Even if you want to go up there, you can't. Well, there's a whole massive group of British men who are stuck in the basements of jails, and they're losing their minds. Yeah, okay. 2 years, 3 years, solitary confinement, yeah. And all because they tried to resist the Islamic takeover of the prison system. So yeah, I am going to follow up on that with interviews. We've got recordings coming out of prisons as well. So yeah, I just need to do one thing at a time.
Yeah. The real truth is that we needed things to get bad or worse for people to wake up. The only problem is that we may be past the point of no return, or the remedial requirements too brutal. No, we're not past the point of no return. It's never too late.
Anyway. No black pills.
Yeah,
No black pills.
We're going to win. Everything's going our way. So just keep the faith. Let's go on to the next bit.
Cool. It's quite a meaty segment, this one. So I might skim through some of it. Oh, thank you very much. Right. So as of today, the online safety bill is live and active, which is quite, it's quite concerning, really. Obviously, I know you guys have done a lot of segments on the Online Safety Act, and I think a lot of other people have been really hammering the drum.
You want to give us a summary, though, just to catch everyone up?
Yeah, it basically, the Online Safety Bill is a new piece of legislation that came out in 2023 that essentially gives Ofcom a bit more power and regulatory power to take down add either fines and to take down potentially any platforms online that could be spreading it's framed as harmful towards children, but there are stuff within the bill that's sort of crowbarred in that we want to cover today. But essentially, you could be fined up to 10% of the revenue if you own a platform, or I believe it's £18,000 or euros. I believe, sorry, 18 million. Euros. So I thought in this segment we could go through what are the mainstream media saying, just to see their sort of take. And then I actually ran the bill through AI and done a prompt and asked for some underreported parts about the bill that I wanted to share, essentially. So we'll start with The Guardian, of course. So it says everything you need to know about the new internet safety bill. It says, from mandatory age verification to criminal liability for non-compliant executives, the legislation marks a new era of digital accountability in keeping children safe online. From tomorrow, so today, social media companies must introduce child safety measures under the Online Safety Act. It is a key moment for a British government attempting, like so many others, to rein in tech firms and prevent children encountering, quote, harmful content on the internet. Quite broad.
Can I just want to say, I actually really agree with the theme behind it. I don't think children should be on the internet, basically. And I don't let my kids just...
Well, that's the problem. Everyone agrees with that. And then that's how they suck you into shutting down
X. Into agreeing with it. And then they decide what's harmful. Exactly. Tommy Robinson's harmful.
Yeah, exactly.
Carl Benjamin's harmful.
Exactly. It says, passed by Parliament in 23, the landmark legislation significantly empowers the regulator Ofcom. Peter Carl, the Science and Technology Secretary, described the new codes as a watershed moment that turned the tide on, quote, toxic experiences on these platforms.
That is very broad, isn't
very,
it?
Very, very broad.
And he's just been on Newsnight. A lot of people pointed out he just wore a T-shirt on Newsnight. He's an MP. But then BBC were asking him, and could you shut down X? They could barely contain themselves. Like, can you shut it down? And
we'll
he sort of didn't
we'll
rule
to
it
that.
Out.
100%. That's all right.
That's the target.
Yeah, exactly. Another
substantial... I hope Elon Musk is paying attention because he is genuinely...
He's next. Yeah, he's definitely next. It says, another substantial change is the requirement for pornography websites to verify that users are age 18 or older. Using methods such as photo ID matching, facial age estimation, credit and debit card checks, mobile operator verification, and open banking and digital ID wallets. So, yeah, it's...
I'm not really against them making sure that the people are accessing porn sites are 18 or more. That's fine.
Exactly.
But that's not the issue. And the thing is, they could easily have just said, so that's what we're going to do for porn sites. So if you're not a porn site, it's not a problem. Who cares, right? And that would be what you were actually, that would be what you actually would do if you wanted to protect children. You wouldn't have all of this extraneous stuff in it.
Exactly. It's a bit like, it reminds me of, you know, obviously the trouble with illegal immigration, how the government wants to tackle it, and then introducing the Blairite, you know, digital ID. It's just using something to, you know, enact something else, like a Trojan horse. Technology platforms, this is Yahoo News. Tech platforms operating in the UK now have a legal duty to protect young people from some of the most dangerous forms of online content. This includes pornography, content that encourages, promotes, or provides instructions for violence, promotion of self-harm, and eating disorders. Those failing to comply face hefty fines. Until now, parents have had the the role of navigating web content filters and app activity management to guard their children from harmful content. And as of the 25th of July 2025, the Safety Act puts greater responsibility on platforms and content creators themselves. Now, going through this, I want to just skip ahead just a bit. You mentioned about BBC Newsnight.
Yeah.
So immediately the question was about X. So could Britain shut down X? Britain has the power now to shut down any platform.
Science and Tech Secretary Peter Kyle just wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's what people were commenting on. He looks like he's selling a new workout program.
new iPhone out or something, is that?
Testosterone replacement therapy.
It says me sat in a T-shirt.
Yeah, but you're not an MP for a start. Yeah, you're not an MP on Newsnight.
So I would just do a bit
aware
of this.
Is that one of the challenges that parents face is that parents didn't grow up in an age where there were smartphones and apps and social media. I didn't, you didn't. So that means that you didn't have the inherited experience of being parented in that world. So you don't grow up with the innate knowledge and the vocabulary and the relationship issues that come with trying to set boundaries and having boundaries set for you as children. For us, it was all in the offline world. So if you were 18 or 19 now, you were born the year that the iPhone was released. So you've only known a life of smartphones, but their parents have only known a life without them. So we, whereas they were children themselves. So we have to have this big issue. Now, I owe a huge apology on behalf of society and every government that's gone before for every child who is over the age of 13 now, because they have been exposed to hateful, violent, misogynistic, and pornographic material, not because the children go looking for it, but because it finds them.
The algorithm.
That's how bad it's
become.
Yeah,
the algorithm of these for profit shoves harmful content and porn
at 8-year-olds.
It's now said that 8% of 8 to 14 year olds have visited a porn site in the last month.
You're angry about it. I am angry about it.
I'm staggered about it.
Every parent is angry about it, but we've allowed this to go on since the invention.
Anyways, so.
But yeah. Wouldn't the solution to be ban children from having iPhones then? Like, I don't think they should have access to any algorithm or any internet,
or social media.
Yeah, social media at all.
You missed the best bit.
It's
with
poison,
the BBC guy says, let's go and watch some porn together. Did you?
Sorry? And I can find you some
porn. He said, the BBC guy says, classic BBC presenter.
but the framing is all around, of course, children as well, and it's all about they're heavily focused on pornography when there are actually other things in the bill that has been harmful content, very vague. You know,
said misogyny.
Yeah, exactly.
What does that mean?
There was one particular social media site. I don't use this site personally, but it talks about how a particular site called Gab was taken down because of this. Now, fortunately, the post isn't available, but the Online Safety Act had already gone back a few months ago and said, well, when the Online Safety Act comes through, that this particular platform was threatened fines of 18 million euros and or 10% of its annual revenue. So they pulled out. They said, we're not paying a penny, we're not going to do it. And they decided to pull out completely from it. So apparently a lot of small businesses, a lot of social media, like small social media websites, have already pulled out from the UK because of this piece of legislation.
And BitChute already did, didn't they? If you go on BitChute now, you just get a statement saying we can't exist in the communist United Kingdom, basically.
Yeah.
Just to be clear as well, I know Andrew Talbot, not well, but like, you know, he basically has been on a similar journey to like all of us, because we've been doing this for a long time now, and Talbot was one of those. So he created Gab, and he's an American, and he's like, look, it's a free speech platform. You know, I'm not going to command people control on it. But as society got more left-wing, he became more right-wing in the same way I have, frankly. Not quite as right-wing as Andrew, but the point is he's just drawn a hard line saying, no, I'm an American. These are the American rights. This is the law that I follow. I'm just not going to do what foreign countries tell me to do, which I entirely respect, to be honest. But you can see how same with BitChute as well. It began as, okay, what we'll do is we'll set up our own free speech platforms and create a parallel economy. The governments have just legislated out of existence for us now.
No, you can't. Well, what's Trump's government saying on this?
Well,
we don't know.
He hasn't said anything.
Hasn't said anything at the minute.
But if we tried to shut down X, for example, that would be a humiliation when Starmer goes to, where the free speech capital of the...
Yeah, whatever. It might be why Trump's in, but in 4 years' time, if Trump wasn't in...
Right. If it's AOC...
They'd adopt similar legislation.
This is why I don't think they'll actually take any action against
in the next 4 years.
In the next 4 years.
They'll wait.
Because Trump, you know, he might have his disagreements with Elon, but he's a nationalist. And he'll be like, you're not coming after our company.
They'll wait 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to read out some other stuff, because I obviously filtered the entire bill through AI, and it's brilliant to do that because it gets rid of all the legal jargon and it really does help home in on some of the stuff. And I wanted to read out some stuff that I found. So here's a few things that it picked up on when I asked it to investigate and how it might affect things like platform policies, content creators, user privacy, innovation, and obviously commentary, things like that. It talks about threatening or harassing messages and encouraging self-harm. It says criminalized threats of death, serious harm, and encouraging serious self-harm applied to digital communication. The first prosecution under self-harm encouragement occurred in July 2025 via Telegram. You had democratically important and journalistic content exemptions. It said Platforms must preserve access to user comments or content tied to political discourse or journalism. They cannot remove such content without scrutiny or risk creating bias via moderation policies. This clause primarily targets large platforms, Category 1 services, and must be reflected in their terms of service and moderation code. So it, like I said, primarily targets Category 1. So when you're looking at others, smaller independent journalism or, you know, the smaller fish, it's easier for them to have the power to shut them down in that respect. Though the government will not enforce breaking encryption immediately, the Act empowers Ofcom to require providers to use accredited technology or client-side scanning or breaking end-to-end encryption to detect CSE material, and once it's technically feasible. It says critics warn this introduces systemic surveillance risks and undermines trust in services like Signal or WhatsApp, and could spur companies to block UK users altogether. And on the consequences for platforms and content creators, it said it must embed safety by design, annual risk assessments, algorithmic accountability, filtering controls, and age assurance systems, including possibly intrusive biometrics or behavior-based interference tools. I think Sansom was saying that he had to... Am I right in saying you had to scan your face to get onto a Discord platform? Like,
yeah, just a regular...
I've seen a lot of people saying that.
Yeah.
To get onto their Discord.
They had to scan their faces already just to get on like a thread board, which is pretty insane. But this is what I wanted to focus on as well, in particular. The Secretary of State's power over Ofcom. It says Section 44 grants the Secretary of State authority to direct or modify Ofcom's draft codes of practice for reasons including national security, public policy, or public safety. Ofcom must comply even if changes are withheld or redacted before laid before Parliament. This enables potential politicisation of content, regulation, and erodes Ofcom's policy-making independence. It says under Section 44, when Ofcom submits a draft code of practice, the Secretary of State may direct Ofcom to modify it if deemed necessary for reasons such as, yeah, national security, public safety, public health, international relations, and compliance with international obligations.
So basically, in sum, when the government said, you know what, we've had enough of Tommy Robinson...
Essentially,
then she can. So you've got the bullshit, and then she can just do what she wants.
Yeah,
a Secretary of State. Yeah.
So it says
Yvette Cooper.
Yeah, it says
so we're in trouble.
Yeah, it says Ofcom is meant to function as an independent regulator, but Section 44 gives ministers formal veto-like control over the final code content.
Even the public health comment. That's yes. The vaccines again.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can exactly. Shut you up and we'll shut you down. So she can step in if there was a mass movement coming out against new vaccines or new lockdowns or anything.
She'd say that's harmful.
No, public health, shut up, you lot.
So Ofcom having this kind of control is bad enough because they're awful.
Yeah.
And then if that's not bad enough, you get Yvette Cooper behind them.
And they're politicised already.
Oh, yeah, Ofcom's, totally politicised. Everyone calls them the off-communists for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even just yesterday, Farage has a revolutionary communist on his show. And it's a cliche at this point, but you wouldn't have the fascist party for balance, right?
No.
So it shows the inherent, it's inherently political bias.
But they never go after like Jeremy Vine or whoever, saying their lies with their left wingers. They never have a right.
So in short, according to AI when investigating it as well, it says a government in office might use Section 44 to steer codes around issues like misinformation, foreign influence, or political speech, aligning safety codes with political interests rather than regulatory logic. And it says safety by design versus party line by design. Ofcom's technical expertise may be superseded by policy shortcuts. For example, enforcing stricter measures on some harms or weakening others based on public relations or diplomatic considerations.
So it basically gives them just carte blanche to do it as they feel like it should be done. The rules are actually not really the rules. The rules are essentially guidelines and they can be overridden whenever they want. Brilliant.
Which is,
communist government.
And many people for the past few years have been really shouting about this particular bill, saying it's not what it seems to be. It's painted up as this, you know, child protection thing when most of the stuff is illegal anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a way to just crowbar in things like that. More power to the state, more power to shut down speech, more power to have control over platforms, social media, because social media now, like X, is extremely powerful. I mean, what did your Silence documentary manage to get views?
67 million.
It's pretty good. It's
How
pretty
did
good.
That work, Justice Nicklin?
Yeah. So, but you mentioned something to add as well, that
they talk about protecting kids a lot, don't they?
Yes. This is a thread by Anna, or I can't quite say it.
Pagliacci,
the hated.
Yeah, she's very good.
Very good. She's done a whole thread on judges that she's identified
paedophiles off.
Yeah.
And this is a real problem with British judges for some reason. I have no idea why we're like this.
Because they're all paedophiles.
Well, you know, we can only make assumptions, but we don't have any proof of anything of that.
No.
Just FYI, have to say that.
Yep. I didn't name
but them. You, I mean, what reason would there be? I mean, if we scroll through the list, it's just crazy how it's just constant, like judge after judge.
Who's this lady here?
What, the one reporting?
The one doing this reporting?
She's a...
Citizen journalist?
Yeah, citizen.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
Called Pagliacci. Her name's actually Anna. But she's very, very hot on all of this stuff. And honestly, her Twitter feed...
32 months for refusing to move out of the way of police officers.
Yep.
He let a paedophile off who collected baby rape videos walk with no jail time.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just unbelievable.
He had good character.
Oh, well.
Yeah, good character.
Can you even imagine? They got, you know, just like more...
So I think because you brought this up, you said about, you know, this particular thread that ties in with safety of children.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then this is completely overlooked.
Judges just letting pedos off all the time.
Mm. They're just naive idiots like that girl we saw. They even look the same. They've got the same hair. You know that girl earlier with the perm? That leftist girl that got shouted at. They're all just naive.
Well, I have no idea.
I'm talking about when it says he showed remorse and things like this.
It's hard to understand what the possible rationale could be if not that they were just in favour of what these men did. I'm saying, well, they're men of good character.
7,000 like, child rape images and told him not to do it
could
again.
Be,
you
know,
you naughty boy.
And he gave 24...
It's the insanity of liberalism where it hits the point where you sympathise with the criminal above everyone else.
Yeah.
You
are right.
I was just going to say anarcho-tyranny because I say it every episode, but that's what you end up with.
And the thing is just, like, if you want more, just go look at Pagliacci's Twitter feed. It is brutal, and honestly, I've yet to see something she's wrong about, frankly, and her feed's a whole house of horrors. But this is exactly the point. This is not, you know, if we wanted to protect children, surely these guys would be in jail.
Yeah, not the person who shouted at the police dog.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, believe it or not, shouting at the police dog and being racist, not quite as bad as downloading 7,000 child rape images. I don't know why I have to say that, but anyway, should we let's carry on
for
the sake of time. Got some more super chats come in, so I'll read through a couple of them quickly.
Here's me.
Scott says, I bet the eating disorders will not include fat acceptance, and the UK is a small part of what most platforms use a base, they'll just switch off. Well, that's the thing as well, is there's a kind of arrogance in the British government. It's like, well, we'll shut down your platform. It's like, no, they'll just deplatform the country. Mm-hmm. And Britain, okay, is 70 million people or whatever, but they're just like, no, it's not worth the hassle. And so the rest of the world gets to access these platforms and we don't because of our tyrannical government. It's insufferable. Ever says, doing it in Australia, under the guise of kids, you need ID to use the internet, eventually push social credit score, hold you to account for posts and memes and stop access to news, etc. Not coming from them. Yeah, and that's, we're going to see more of this. But anyway, let's carry on.
All right, well, we probably don't have much time, but this is mainly jokes anyway, so we'll just spin through this. So it's Will Corbyn destroy Labour, I've optimistically called it. And Corbyn's launched his new party, as you probably know, and there we are, politics show. Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana have made a joint statement on the foundation of their new political party, named Your Party. Brilliant. Great name, guys. Except, it's not called Your Party. So Zara Sultana's like, what are you doing, politics Joe? It's not called Your Party. Yes, the website's called Your Party, but how could you think that was the name, you fools? And
why
so,
is the name not the website?
I know, it's so dumb. But
what's
it's
it called?
Great question, Tommy. And you know who else asks? Politics Joe. What is it called? All lowercase, no question about it. They're just like, they don't even know. And so no
and
one
no
knows.
No response to this.
Yeah, because no one knows.
National Socialist.
They haven't... Oh, yes, your party but with the apostle. That's hilarious. So no one knows. You just launched. Remember when he launched? She launched, actually, and Corbyn was said to be furious and bewildered.
Yeah.
Just lost with this shopping bag in Asda, going, why is she launched? Like, she wasn't supposed to launch. Then they launch it with the wrong name, or no one knows
name, apparently.
Yeah, I know. And even Politics Joe's going, guys, what are you doing? And as Christine Nemitz points out, such a ridiculous medium Politics Joe, they have one job, which is North Korea-style Corbo idolatry, and they can't even get that right. You had one job.
Politics Jez are a just dumbed-down version of Novara Media. That's so true.
Yeah.
What's the dude's name from Novara Media?
Aaron Bastani.
He comes across all right
sometimes. Yeah, he does.
I'm sure.
I'm watching him thinking,
hold on a minute. He's all right.
He's a patron. I called him the thinking man's Thomas Skinner the other day. He actually laughed at that.
Yeah.
Is it all a trick? And then he hits you with the communism.
I think because he's a dad.
He's shifting, man.
I think he's coming over to the far right, to be honest.
Yes, he's coming. Yeah. Not that we're that, but yeah. Anyway, and I just finding some funny tweets, really. Gareth Roberts, it's your party and I'll cry if I want to.
Some boomer jokes.
Yeah. I know it made me laugh. The Zoomers might not get it. Dankula has an idea for the name. Jeremy Corbyn has started a new hard left party currently called Your Party, where anyone can sign up and vote for anything, including the party name. Wouldn't it be awful if everyone signed up and voted to call it Gooners for Mustache Man? We'll go with that. Would be terrible, and I hope no one goes to yourparty.uk and does that.
Thing is, I love the idea of, look, we're just going to float the party name out to the public. It's like, bro.
I know. It's so communist, isn't it? Yeah. But it's so badly organised communism. Yeah. Lenin is spinning in his grave going, these guys are a joke. You know what I mean?
This isn't the vanguard.
Stalin would have none of this. Anyway, let's carry on. So Grok has some suggestions. Based on Soltano and Corbyn's emphasis on democratic socialism, inclusivity, anti-austerity, equality and collective action, here are 10 suggested names. Collective UK, People's Democracy Party, these are quite boring, Solidarity Socialist Alliance, Equality Now Movement, Workers' Unity Front, Inclusive Left Coalition. That's possible, actually.
The anti-barbarism.
Anti-barbarism, yeah, that comes from the Rosa Luxemburg quote, socialism or barbarism.
Oh, I'm kind of pro-barbarism then.
I mean. Democratic Socialist Union, Peace and Justice Party, Your Socialist Future. The last one is just the whole country, isn't it? Your socialist future and our socialist present, actually. But then someone asked for sarcastic names from Grok, and it come up with some sarcastic names, poking fun at tropes like endless queues, failed utopias, and virtue signaling. And we've got Queue for Equality League, People's Poverty Paradise, Corbyn's Cult of Collectivism, Sultana's Subsidy Sinkhole, Barbarism, Bankruptcy, Inclusive Rationing Revolution, Democratic Deficit Party, Workers Waiting Wonderland, Peace, Love and Penury, Your Taxes Are Dreams. I like that last one. That could be the slogan more than the actual party name. Your Taxes Are Dreams.
That is a good slogan, yeah.
Corbyn. Adnan Hussain, independent MP for, is it Blackburn and Gaza?
I can't remember. Yeah.
So this isn't the party name, but even with, so Zia Yusuf, and sorry to put him in your timeline, but he's saying from a branding perspective, this is one of the worst names ever. Adnan, this isn't the party name, but even with this branding, you should be worried that people now have a real alternative.
They're going after reform voters, aren't they?
To be fair,
reform are going after their voters.
Well, yeah.
I know, yeah. To be fair, we are worried, probably, but for different reasons. And Pip Aquera from The Guardian points out, Jeremy Corbyn officially confirms new party with Zara Sultana. Pollsters predict a well-organised left-wing party could take 10% off Labour's vote. So if they just get the organisation, they could be a real threat.
To Labour.
That's hence the title of my thing. But
Jeremy Corbyn's going to make sure there's never a Labour government ever again. Thank you, comrade Corbyn.
He really hates Keir Starmer, doesn't he? Good. He really hates. He's like, I tell you what, I'll destroy the country to get this guy back. But of course, it's not really taking 10% off Labour's vote. That's a bit misleading. And actually, the Telegraph gives us a slightly different take, which it will take votes, but not strictly from Labour. So
it's going to swallow up the Muslim vote, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to take some of the green, but I'm just going to find a nice graph for you here. I know we love
it. Is that going to allow Labour to actually now talk about some of the Muslim issues?
Well, maybe.
Maybe it has the adverse effect.
I mean, it's literally going to become Jezbollah, isn't it?
This is weird. My little graph is not there. That's strange. Oh, it's gone. Okay, well, I'm going to have to describe a graph now, which is really good
content. It's going to be an interesting few years.
Where'd it go? So there's a graph, anyway, that says it shows actually they're going to take about 3% from Labour and about 4% from the Greens. They've chosen to just make it disappear. So it's not all going to... It shows what would happen if Corbyn got 10%. But actually, a lot of it comes from the Greens. 1% came from the SNP. 4% came from Greens. 3% from Labour. Reform and Tories in this projection were exactly the same. Mm. So it just takes from the left, basically. And the Greens, were actually worried about it because Adrian Ramsey, co-leader, says, so Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana are indeed starting a new party. This blows Zach Polanski's leadership pitch out of the water. It's crucial now more than ever that we maintain a distinct Green Party identity, as Ellie and me are arguing. Let's not become the support act. So it's like...
You're the Green Party, bro. Calm down. I know.
Bring back the whales and dolphins stuff I was saying before. People will vote for that. We love that. But then it became all communism and open borders.
And Islam.
Like, yeah. And Al Akbar.
Yeah. What happened to, when we grew up, it was dolphins caught in the nets. And we were like, yeah, fair dues. You know, Greenpeace. Yeah. Could change very quickly. Anyway, hopefully this graph will work. Zia Yusuf again. Sorry to put him in your timeline. It's not called your party takes a chunk out of Labour support and opens a big gap between Reform and the rest. This has Reform on 31%. Labour and Conservative 19, JCP, which I guess is a decent name for it.
Jeremy Corbyn party.
Yeah. The Jezza party. Ain't no party like a Jez Corbs party. That's another idea. Liberal Democrats 11%, Green 5%. So again, yeah, it was just helping Reform. I mean, that is it. Yeah. A Reform person
This is great though, because honestly, fracturing on the left is good for the right.
Obviously. Do you not think there needs to be something to counter Reform? Because Nigel Farage currently just laughs. The country, anyone who wants to go for the anti-immigration, anyone who's upset, there's no one else to vote for but Farage. And he knows it. He doesn't have to push on the Islam issue. He doesn't have to address any of the problems that everyone wants addressing, because no one's got another option.
Well, you've got Ben started Advance UK for that reason. And then obviously Rupert started Restore as a movement to put pressure on. But I know what you mean.
I think there has to be something. I know people are going to say you're dividing the right. People are going to say, oh, look, you're taking it away from Reform. Yeah, well, there needs to be something, because Nigel Farage ain't going to address any of the issues. He's made it pretty clear.
And the establishment view him as containment for the current paradigm.
It's pretty clear. They're happy for him to get in.
Yeah.
Exactly. He ain't coming under attack. He actually gets platformed by the media. He gets a big cushion from it.
He gets Fraser Nelson of the bloody Spectator or whatever it is.
Where he's Spectator. Yeah, he's Times now. He's former Spectator.
Yeah, like doing puff pieces, being like, Nigel Farage is our last hope.
Yeah, that's it.
He's not a threat to the system. Nigel Farage is a part of the system.
Let's call it our party just to mess with them.
just to be clear, like, that this is exactly what Jeremy Corbyn has been saying to create his party. This is literally word for word.
He needs to do it to push Labour. I think Ben Habib is far better than...
Well, yeah, but we'll get, you know, the Habib low sort of axis coming up soon, I think.
Do you think Low ends up? I think Low tries to become Tory leader.
I don't know. I've spoken to him about it.
I called that, yeah?
I said it a while ago. I know. I spoke to him about it,
and he's never been hardly... Sure he's not been properly committed about joining the Tories. He actually kind of thinks they're kind of useless. So.
I wonder if he just builds his movement big enough that he comes with such a power vacuum that the Tories need him. And if the Tories want to count Reform, join with Rupert Lowe. That's what I can only see as I'm looking at it all. Mm-hmm. And then more Tories are finding courage now. You hear a lot of Tory conservatives now speaking up, and I'm thinking, finally, some conservatives.
But the thing is, the Tories are just collapsing.
Yeah. I was saying it, Carl, in that piece about Kemi Badenoch in New Statesman. They've got no funding. Their Leeds headquarters are shut down. Their CCHQ, which is meant to be this monolith, is two people on comms. It's just two blokes and an old coffee machine and a dog. It's nothing.
The local branches are just disintegrating.
Yeah. Obviously, Reform's small, but the Tories have to manage so much, and they just haven't got the cash because no one's funding them anymore,
as I
understand it.
I agree.
All right. But what does the party actually believe, guys? I know you're keen to find out. That might be... I don't know if we can click on that to make it bigger or if I just read it out for you. But it's... let's have a look. No, I'll just read it out. Oh, hang on. So here we go. The system is rigged. The system is rigged when 4.5 million children live in poverty. This is Jeremy Corbyn himself, by the way, in the sixth richest country in the world. The system is rigged when giant corporations make a fortune from rising bills. The system is rigged when the government says there's no money for the poor, but billions for war. He likes things that rhyme. We cannot accept these injustices, and neither should you. We will only fix the crises in our society with a mass, here it comes, redistribution of wealth and power. I didn't see that one coming. That means taxing the very richest in our society. Oh, it's communism, guys, just in case you were wondering.
And they leave.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I love it. It's just
had me to that point.
Yeah. But maybe they close the border so you can't leave.
Yeah, surprise, it's communism.
It's communism. Oh, shock, it was me all along. Yeah. I would have got away with it. We will only fix the crisis. Oh, yeah, I've read that. Blah, blah, blah. That means an NHS free from privatisation and bringing energy, water, rail and mail into public ownership. Obvs.
I actually agree.
And property, which they've not put in there. Yeah, but then it's brackets and property.
Then it's my house. Yeah. You know,
which that girl said on Farage last night. That means investing in a massive council house building programme. And here we go. That means standing up to fossil fuel giants, putting their profits before our planet. One sentence for the green lot, because he's got to. I don't think his heart's really in that stuff. Nah. Meanwhile, millions of people are horrified by the government's complicity in crimes against humanity. This is your inevitable Palestine bit. Yeah, I don't really need to go through all it. Of course, it's going to be Palestine. Wherever you stand on that, you knew Jezza was going to go with that. And he's got another page. Our movement is made up of people of all faiths and none. The great dividers want you to think that the problems in our society are caused by migrants or refugees. They're not.
Who are you building council houses for, Jez?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
in social housing, in the area where my mum lives, they're building the new housing estates now. It used to be 30% went to social housing. It's now 45%. Yeah. And the social housing, it's all filled with migrants.
Yeah, exactly.
They're literally replacing entire areas where there weren't any migrants and everyone's moved to get away from the migrants. They're now filling 45% of the houses with migrants.
Right.
And they're constantly obviously Swindon being a town in Wiltshire, we've got lovely, countryside outside. New build, new build, new build. Who are they getting filled with?
They're put in a place called Broughton. So my mate moved from Luton to get up there, put his kids in the school. The first language all the kids speak is French. They're all black French.
Really?
The first language. He said his kid can't speak to any kids.
How do they arrive here? Why aren't they in France?
He's had to take them out of the school. And they sold the last 180 houses, went to a Nigerian businessman. That Nigerian businessman just filled them all with free, on the three-story houses, there's three families in them.
It's happening in Ireland as well, across Ireland.
So when he says that, they say our problems are caused by migrants or refugees, they're not. My response is, they are, though.
It's the question is of our, right? So Jeremy Corbyn and his Gaza Islamists, their problems aren't caused by migrants. They are the migrants.
Right.
Yeah. Our problems, the British people, our problems are caused by the
different
migrants.
Different problems, yeah. Mo migrants, mo problems. I just came up with that. They're caused by an economic system that protects the interests of corporations and billionaires. There it is. It is ordinary people who create the wealth, kind of, and it's ordinary people who have the power to put it back where it belongs. Yeah, I mean, ordinary people do a lot, but you still need entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's time for a new kind of political party, one that is rooted in our communities, trade unions, and social movements. That kind of sounds like a really old political party.
Yeah, it sounds like
from about 100 years ago. Yeah. One that builds power in all regions and nations, one that belongs to you, and then the website, which is your party, confusingly.
But what I love about this is he doesn't even say that we're going to choose the name or something. So why wouldn't they think it's called your party?
I know,
exactly.
I know.
Yeah,
that's the your party.
Yeah,
I know.
Clown
world. But here's a more succinct version of the manifesto from Burnside. A free owl for every anti-Semite, a marrow in every allotment, a Palestinian in every loft, a burqa on every woman, a crayon for every Bergen. So there you go. And if you didn't get that last reference, this is someone's put together what crayon for Bergen looks like. And he just...
Gary's economics.
That's grotesque. Yeah. I'm sorry for putting that in your face.
That's disgusting. Thank you.
And... obviously, I'm voting for them. I replied to Zara and said, I, for one, am excited to try communism just one more time. Why not? Let's give it a little crack, lads. And academic agents voted for them. Corbyn over Farage. Raisin wants Farage. Tries to destroy Corbyn. You know, Nima's going to come in with the 5D chess.
It's not wrong, though.
Firas there is also not wrong. You're right about the regime's intent. Corbyn, however, would hand the country over to Islamic communism.
Can I offer a countering opinion that I don't necessarily subscribe to, but... do you think that we're overestimating how much that this particular party could galvanise the younger votes?
Overestimating as in, do we think it'll get a lot?
A lot.
I don't think it's going to get any.
No?
I don't think it will.
No, I think it might, you know.
Look how many members that they got under Corbyn.
180,000?
Yeah.
The first 24.
Yeah. Corbyn,
but that's not paid. That's just
these are
email.
Just people signing up to an email list. Yeah. Corbyn...
It's not low, like Restore or something where they're getting...
But yeah, it could. I mean, look, in a time when things are going very badly, free money... is always appealing. Free stuff, we hate the rich.
Free Wi-Fi.
And Gary Stevenson's always going on about it. It has a certain amount of
because that
appeal.
Actually galvanizes a lot of the younger.
Yeah,
but the thing is, there's always the problem that Corbyn has is that the country is very familiar with him. He has a large fan base, but as the thing pointed out, where's the graph here? Right, he's got a large fan base, but it's about 12% of the population, right? Yeah. So that's, you know, about 1 in 8, 1 in 9 people. Okay, that's a lot. If you're like trying to start a business or trying to like, you know, run a company or something, that's a large number of people who are going to join in your email list. But you're never going to win an election on that.
No.
All you're going to do is destroy the left in Britain, which is fantastic, actually. That's actually brilliant because like we're in a first past the post system. I mean, this is literally what Nigel Farage did to the Tories.
Correct.
He cut their legs out from under them by taking about a third of their vote.
So it kind of evens the playing field for the election.
Exactly. So actually, Corbyn is doing the right a massive favour here because he's not like the Labour and the Tories are probably going to stay like this for a long time at like 19-20%.
Yeah.
You know, so Farage as the outside right winger and anyone else who moves in to fill that gap when Farage leaves it, well, there's a real opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, it's not impossible though that people would vote reform. That doesn't work out, so they go to Corbyn? Because I've spoken to people on the street who say they were considering voting for Corbyn or Reform. It does exist out there.
I don't know. Maybe there is a percentage, but like, remember that when Corbyn was in charge of the Labour Party, he lost Theresa May because people on the doorstep were like, we just hate Corbyn because he's a fucking traitor and supports every terrorist group under the sun. And literally his party, remember, like, when they are actually an actual party and they have like their press conferences, what they'll see is Jeremy Corbyn as a traitor with a bunch of Muslim MPs around him. And it's going to look like the Islamic Party of Great Britain.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
That's true.
People are not...
All they're going to talk about is Gaza.
Yeah, exactly. All they'll talk about is Gaza and possibly, you know, communism. And like
weapons of war, Corbyn keeps talking
about. Those subjects, I would argue, they're quite appealing to the younger sort of audience, right? In this,
I mean, the Labour Party only gets something like 35% of young people anyway.
Yeah.
It's not even that popular.
Right.
Okay. We say, oh, young people are all left-wing.
Lots of Labour are saying, even though it will split about, they're saying we're glad to get rid of these people. People like Lord Gladstone, Blue Labour. I mean, Starmer's got to deal with all these nutcases. Now he's got less of them to deal with. But they will lose some votes. But as you say, it's popular. Leo Kirsten signed up. Don't underestimate the appeal of Corbyn's new party. I've signed up. It's free. So there is
communism
that.
Communism works already.
But anyway, and the key thing is to always keep the name in mind. Don't get confused about the name. In case you forget, Corbyn was asked, what is the name? And here he goes.
Ah, it's your party.
There you go. It's your party. So he can't stop saying that. But he means, go and tell us the name and get on the website and you can suggest the names. It's name by committee. Imagine, like, from the start, it's already a shit show. Anyway, sorry, we're not meant to swear.
That's fine, but that really is the whole point, isn't it? Name by committee, everything by committee.
Everything by committee.
Like, yeah, everything committees make is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It's not really leadership, is it?
No, it's not leadership at all. It's the absence of leadership.
Is Diane Abbott joining him?
No.
Isn't she?
And neither's John McDonnell. He said no. Yeah. What's the other one? Clive?
Lewis.
Clive Lewis.
It's Lewis, isn't it? He said no. He said yeah. He did
a
long
communist one.
Statement. Yeah, it's Clive Lewis. He did a long statement about how no, it's not the right time and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it's going to be Jeremy Corbyn and his Muslims.
And Zara Sultana, who he can't stand, so clear already. He said, no, we're getting on fine. In his interview, he said, she's in Coventry at the moment. I don't think he meant metaphorically, but she was actually in Coventry. But like, isn't it amazing how badly they obviously get on already?
Yeah. And it's just a marriage of ideology, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, I'm not worried about this at all, because I think when the country sees Jeremy Corbyn and his Muslims, they'll be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
So that's the worst thing I've ever seen. What are you doing?
Yeah, Farage had that press conference the other day with two women either side, didn't he? He had Sarah Poach and then Lila thing. Corbyn will just have two Muslims in like full burqa.
No, Farage had a meal recently, $25,000 a ticket for a head table. The whole head table was
Pakistani. How was it?
The whole head table. I know something that went. They said the whole head table was Pakistani Muslims.
Oh, brilliant.
Whole head table.
Probably all the property owners from London and Bradford.
It's Sears, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be Sears, mate, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, right, let's get some comments. Omar says, I'm genuinely quite glad the establishment have been so dogmatically categorising all immigrants as good. If they'd been even a little discerning, the replacement could have gone much further without pushback. It's only because of the obvious atrocities and resulting injustices that people are starting to notice the cultural incompatibilities, the enclaves and the ethnic resentment against the natives. That's a great point, actually. Like, their sort of incompetence been like, all immigrants good. They could have said, no, this category of immigrants bad, and so we'll keep them out, and so keep bringing in millions of Indians, millions of Pakistanis, millions, you know, millions of whoever. And so the cities would have changed anyway, and we would have been in less resistance to it. So that's actually a really great point, and just goes to show you the low quality of the tyrants who rule over us. I demand a better level of Gestapo. Alpha the Beta says, the government will never tolerate unlawful and violent behaviour, says Starmer. So it's in their interest to provoke or instigate violence to give a licence to crack down. Their monopoly of violence is the trump card. Basically. That's exactly what they think. Gary says, everyone can feel the tension in the air. Most people I know are talking about it. It's Tinderbox Britain and there's no hiding it. And this is just the real issue that underlines everything, is there's nothing they can do about it. Like, they've completely painted themselves into a corner. Because essentially, if they were like, yeah, you know what, we kind of do have to get rid of all of these hotels, that's just a flat admission that everything the government has done is completely wrong. And they were wrong on everything.
When they say get out of the hotels, they're just going to put them in the houses.
Yeah.
So it's not really get rid of the hotels, because the men that are in the hotel is going to get put next door to you in your housing estate as well.
Yeah.
Before your family, you've been waiting.
Fraser Nelson was sharing that stat, wasn't he? That these hotels have gone down in number. So where have they gone?
Well, they're in houses. Yeah. Brand new houses in the estate next to probably my mum.
No,
45% of them. Someone's bought £500,000 house and you put a load of migrants next door.
They're actually more deeply integrating them into the community.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Because like that hotel that was just across the road there, that was a migrant hotel. for about a year and a half. But the thing is, nothing bad happened because it's like right in the middle of Swindon. There's no, you know, it's not an estate or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no families around.
Now they're in the estates.
Exactly. Now they're in the estates. So it's actually even worse. So thanks so much, traitors. I'm not going to read out some of these comments because people are quite angry. Safety is the constant excuse authoritarians use to justify censorship. They don't really care about the actual safety of the population, just a buzzword to get women on board. Yeah, I mean, this is self-evident, frankly, from the online harms bills. Colin says, misogynistic. Nothing about misandrist content? Of course not. Of course they don't care about that. Vonnegut's Ghost said, the MPs aren't listening. The mainstream media isn't listening. Everything is disregarded. Their deafness and obliviousness to what is happening demonstrates their obnoxious outlook. They are willing to send us to oblivion. That's honestly the thing that I think everyone really needs to take away from this. This was the plan, right? This state of affairs that we're in now, this is the plan, and this is what they're in defense of. Remember, they're like, yeah, don't you object, don't you object. Don't you go out there and write. We're going to stamp down on you. If you say something racist, we're going to censor you and the platform you said it on. And this was the plan. Like, they've been put in position all of the laws to make sure that this is how things end up. So that's the thing that, like, the average person needs to take away from this. Ron says, content that encourages or promotes violence. Online Quran's going to be taken down then. well, you know.
The Quran breaches every hate speech law they've brought in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for what is it about the finding the Jews behind the rocks in the last day?
Hadith.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, yeah.
So, oh, here's a Jew.
the end of the world won't come until all the Jews have been killed by the trees or whatever it is. It's like, that's mad.
That's in Hamas's manifesto.
Of course so. This is another thing as well. So there are a lot of people who are like angry.
I thought that was
Israel.
From Corbyn's new manifesto.
Well,
being there.
For your pie.
A lot of people are angry at like Israel for over Gaza, which fair enough, I can understand. And a lot of people are like, well, are Hamas that bad? And it's like, look, man, Hamas actually are that bad, though. Like, it's that, you know, they are awful, even if you don't like Israel. Steve says, this law goes against our human rights. Article 12 of the United Nations Treaties of Human Rights. How can it be said that we as a people do not even have human rights anymore? Well, again, it just goes to show you, like,
all human rights for migrants.
Exactly. All of these things, it is a two-tier system, and unfortunately, you were at the bottom of that. And is, I mean, I assume no one disagrees with that statement as well. So Omar says, Corbyn had the chance to do the funniest thing. Vote zero seats. Roman Observer says, any tax on the rich kills the middle class. Yeah, this I'm so sick of this whole, like, we have to talk about communism thing again. It's like, communism's such a dead duck at this point.
You'd hope. Yeah. The next one I meant to call say myself, he's doing the old Abbott and Costello routine.
Oh, God.
It's like Baron von Warhawk says, that's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the name of Corbyn's Communist Party. I'm telling you, your party. What are you talking about? I'm asking for the name of the party. I don't have a party. Yeah, it's your party. So it's the old, you know, who's on first, Abbott and Costello. That's what he's referencing. That's the problem with the name Your Party. Among other things, it's also a terrible name. Sorry, go on.
And No, it's great. I love the fact that Politics Joe had to come out and be like,
What is it called?
We're trying to help you here, guys.
So we've got about 10 minutes. I want to talk to you about what's it been like since you've been released from prison again? Like, what's the sort of reception been from, like, you know, the online activists, the sort of public figures, the politicians, any of the media? What's your experience been?
The reception has been, I just get love everywhere I'm going. I get so much love. It's actually insane, to be honest. Whether I'm in an airport. Do you know, I come out of jail and I went, Matt, I had to get the Daily Mail video done.
Yeah.
So I went 100 mile an hour. And then I started trying to do too many things. And then I sort of just felt wrecked. And I thought, I need to just concentrate. And then I took some time out, didn't I? I went away with my son to slow down, which is what I think I needed to do. Because
if you've just been in jail for a year, I think it's okay to take a holiday.
Yeah, that's it. And I did feel wrecked. I felt pretty wrecked. So, yeah. But it's been the support I'm getting and the public support and the love I get shown everywhere I go is insane. I went down to a pub and met Liam Tufts, five of us, sat and had our food. Landlady's come over and said, you're not paying for that. None of you are paying for that. Yeah, this was during the day. Then I've gone for a Chinese later that night, my mate, in a village near Luton, sat and had Chinese, and I order a lot, yeah. I order a lot. There's two of us, but we both order a lot. And then as we went to get the bill, they said, gentleman over there's took care of it. And this is just me sitting in a restaurant. I'm just like, bloody hell, man. So, and I'm getting that reception everywhere I've gone, man. So it's been a beautiful experience. It's great for my kids to see. You know, my kids get to see it. So when my kids see me places, they just see that their dad's getting a lot of respect rather than
man. I've been supporting you for a long time now, and I've seen you go through the absolute ringer. Mm. Yeah, like this, it wasn't like this like 7-8 years ago.
No, it was bad, and then even I think on this time I come out of jail, I always thought I'd get back with my ex-wife, and then I had to really accept that that's never going to happen. Mm. So yeah.
I'm glad things like there is a cultural change, because one thing that I've noticed a lot of people, it used to be that your name was, oh no, I can't associate, I can't ever talk, I can't go anywhere near, and your name is becoming slowly but surely rehabilitated.
Yeah,
so everyone's like, actually,
that's toxic.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I mean, you've obviously calmed down as you've grown a bit older, but actually you were right about all of these things, and actually it was difficult to come out originally and say these things. And
you're
really,
it's a bit frustrating. It's the same people that shouted us down, us, all of us, yeah, and now sitting there trying to shout the loudest about these issues. And I'm sitting there watching it, thinking, no, your attitude was part of the problem. Why the British public was silent.
Here's Bloody Morgan.
Yeah.
He was the guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. But not, I'm meant to be on with him soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, don't talk bad about him.
Yeah, no, I agreed to go on with him. But then I need to be, yeah. Yeah, I think that it's an encouraging time. Do you know for how long have we waited for this?
And years.
Years. And not just years. And then I sort of had to swallow my bitter pill, because whilst I'm moaning about people who... I've always wanted everyone to talk about this issue. So now that people are talking about the issue, I then started having little bitches at them, thinking, oh, yeah, well, you weren't saying this. But then I think, well, we've wanted you to talk about it. So I just swallow my own bullshit and accept that now that it's good that the mainstream people are talking about it. Yeah. It's good. It was a lonely place, wasn't it, for a while?
It was, and it was difficult. And the thing is as well, like, the amount of, oh, I've heard the name and now I've got afraid because the tension in their network is suddenly pulled us in. And that's happening less and less and less. Yeah. And I try to explain to people, look.
Jordan Peterson said he expected a big backlash when he had me on.
Did he not?
When he had me on, yeah. He goes, I didn't get any backlash.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Then just get any backlash. He goes, but I had some real high-ranking people ringing me up saying, watched him for years, agree with everything you said.
Oh, that's brilliant, man.
Yeah, he said, mate, I've got no backlash.
That's great.
From our first interview, none.
One thing I'm really thankful for Peterson is platforming, normalising that actually this is a real thing. Because in the UK, man, for anyone outside of the UK, like, you know, Tommy's name has been Satan for a long time, right?
I mean, but I've noticed that people like Peterson, although he still said that, but people like Gad Saad in North America and Canada and so on, there wasn't the same toxic thing. So it kind of exposed it as a bit silly. Because in this country,
yeah, the
it's
Americans
like,
didn't care.
They didn't, because they didn't know it.
They don't
didn't
see
mean
it like
anything.
That. Yeah.
Right,
it's the same with me. Like, I don't get to go on GB News, you know, as a panelist or anything.
Right.
But I'll get invited to everything in America.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, all right, yeah, British commentator, right wing, you're a bit weak compared for our standards, you know.
Yeah, you're quite moderate. Even though the founder is anonymously retweeting you. Oh, sorry, not the founder, one of the main backers.
Yeah,
of what, GB News?
Yeah,
he retweets me every now and again. It's like, and I'm not.
But you're banned as well.
Yeah.
How can we be banned from the free speech?
Oh, I know. Well, that's the thing. It's the fear. This fear. But I can feel there's a bursting of the dam.
It's like, burst.
You know, were you interviewed for the documentary that was on Channel 4 yesterday? I was interviewed for this documentary that was on Channel 4 yesterday.
And they didn't put you in?
Oh, yeah. They put me in. And not only apparently, I haven't seen it yet. But Dan watched it, and he was like, yeah, no, they didn't stitch you up or anything.
No, you come across fine.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear it.
Glad to hear it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I was worried, got to say. But that's the thing. You can feel a change in the air where, like, actually, maybe these guys just weren't evil bigots, and actually maybe they had a point. So I'm actually kind of optimistic about the way things are going.
Are the publics, you know, what they just said is the media aren't listening, the politicians aren't listening. Who gives a shit if they're listening? Excuse my language again.
No.
Who cares if they're listening? The public are listening. Yeah. The public are wide awake. And it's never been a situation like this. So I sit and think we're heading towards a political or a British revolution where the power and the strength of voice is going to become so powerful it cannot be ignored.
But, I mean, how many followers have you got on X at this point?
Nearly 1.4. 1.4 in about 2 weeks, right?
Considering where you were 5 years ago.
Oh, no, yeah.
Bloody amazing.
Well, when I was deplatformed from everywhere.
Yeah, you had millions then.
And they gave me back my YouTube channel, didn't they, when I walked out of jail?
That's why I got you on.
Yeah, strange.
Oh, right. If he's allowed on YouTube, then we can have him on.
Yeah,
right?
That's it, yeah.
But the... Because, you know, I would have had you on before, but, like, YouTube on YouTube. But the point that I'm driving at with this is that this is why, honestly, you, in particular, can't go to these sort of events anymore in Epping. Yeah. You're an institution now. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that means you're like, who's your favourite footballer?
who's my favourite footballer. I fell out of love with football over Black Lives Matter.
Okay, well,
it broke my heart. It absolutely broke my heart.
Who's like the best? Who's like the legend in football?
Gascoigne was.
Right. Okay. Paul Gascoigne can't just go down to your local club and kick the ball around with a few of the lads down there, right?
Oh, no.
Because that will cause fucking havoc.
Okay, you know, I get you.
The media will come down. All of the fans will come down. But Paul Gascoigne's down that he can't just go and do that. You're in that sort of position when it comes to this sort of stuff. Right? What you need to do is essentially open the ground and say, right, young lads, like you were doing earlier, young lads who want to go and out, make a name for themselves, who can go down and record like Jack has.
It's great, man.
It is. But you,
I love watching it.
Exactly. But that's the thing. You're at the sort of apex of it, so you've got to like clear the space for them. You can't just be marching down there. I honestly think that the September the 13th thing, who else can pull that off, man? You're like the only person in the country who can pull this sort of stuff off. That's what you need to use your platform for. So like you can't just be marching around to these little...
I just want to use it to unify the public.
But that's exactly right. And that's the right thing for you to do at this point in your career. Because you're right up there now, man. You know, you are a name. You're an institution. You've got to think responsibly in that sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but honestly, so far, I think you're doing pretty well, actually. And I'm really pleased that everyone's playing their part, you know.
You know, so am I. I'm really pleased at how many people come together. Yeah. Do you know what I'm pleased about? I'm pleased that the public have listened and at each of our events, because I understand how angry they are. I'm angry. We're all angry. But they've come with the right atmosphere, with the right mood.
Oh, it's been brilliant.
It's like bring your smiles and bring your flags, because that's how we laugh at them. We need to stand there and have 500,000 people singing, laughing, clapping, dancing.
Well, everyone's families are coming on September. Like, you know, Pete and all of his family, my family are coming. Yeah. It's a
totally
family
changed.
Day. It's a family day.
It's mainstream.
Yeah, it is absolutely
it's mainstream.
Normal.
And what that does is gives the confidence. You know, when people say, what difference does it make? We see all the cowards in Parliament. Yeah. Mm. When they see that many people on the street, it's going to give them a bit of courage, because they're all finding courage. Everyone's now finding courage. It'll give them the courage to start speaking up. It'll give them the courage to start actually telling the truth about many things. And I say that when the dam bursts, it's going to burst from so many people.
The Trafalgar one was particularly important, I think, because you saw Michelle Dewsbury went there from GB News, and she was just like, there's nothing wrong with this. I love her. She's great. This isn't a far-right rally. This is just mums and dads and
normal GB
people.
News have still never sent that on there.
I know.
GB News has still never sent that on there. So when I remember when I was in jail, and I watched other little demonstrations, and they're always there. The farmers are there, and they're live-streaming it. I think you're meant to be the people's channel. It doesn't matter what your viewers are me. This isn't a Tommy Robinson event. It's a free speech festival for the British public in central London. If hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are travelling from far and wide to go there to exercise their free speech.
It's just not newsworthy.
How is it not newsworthy? You're meant to be the people's channel.
Yeah.
You should be on the street asking them, why have you come here? Asking the old people, asking the different... And do you know what else is insane? The diversity of our support base.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't worked. When you think about it, the propaganda, the money, all the attempts to defame all of us, one by one, everyone that sat around that table in the first meetings of that cultural movement, from Lawrence Fox to me, you, Calvin, we've all faced relentless propaganda and attacks against our characters, and the public don't buy it.
And
it's quite funny, isn't it?
And this is the thing, you get a lot of online activists who are like, what's the point of these
I see them things? Saying that,
yeah. And it's just like, look, man, the point is normalisation. The point is show, and this is why the Dewsbury and Trafalgar one particularly stands out in my mind, because she was just like, well, this feels completely safe and normal. This is just very happy. It's a festival. What's the problem?
You see Reform there?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't happen without the first ever demonstration.
I agree.
Nigel Farage was going to work in America on media.
Yeah.
When he saw that first demonstration in London, I'm standing for election.
And everyone's cheering for Reform because he hadn't stabbed us in the back.
Yeah, he could see the mood of the country on the street. On the 13th of September, the whole world's going to see the mood of the British public.
So, Nick, where can people find more from you?
Oh, I've got my YouTube, which is just Nick Dixon, and of course nickdixon.net, which is where all my extra content is. And I've got brilliant interviews with people like Carl Benjamin, people like that, guys you've heard of. Yeah, yeah.
He seems all right.
We had Josh Furman as well.
Oh, really?
If you've heard of him.
Yeah, Lewis, where can people find more from you?
You can find me on X, where I post most. Substack as well, just my name, Lewis Brackpool, and I use a bit of Instagram and YouTube as well. I've got my own channel.
Tommy, where can people find you?
You can find me on X. You can watch all of my documentaries are at trfilms.co.uk. All my books are at trbooks.co.uk. And anyone wants UTK or Mega Merch, ready for the September 13th, that's nationwear.co.uk.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, folks. Have a great weekend. And if you're for the Gold Zoom call, we'll see you in half an hour. Well, about 20 minutes.